Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Inflation continues to hinder the economy. The Consumer Price Index for all Americans increased nearly 0.5% in September. Over the last 12 months, inflation has increased 5.4%. The Biden administration announced on Tuesday it's preparing to reopen the U.S. land borders with Canada and Mexico to fully vaccinated individuals traveling for non-essential reasons at some point in early November. Unvaccinated travelers, according to Biden officials, will still be prohibited from traveling to the United States. As supply chain bottlenecks around the world threaten to dismantle the U.S. holiday shopping season, President Biden will unveil a plan today to try to ease West Coast delays at the ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles, California, by expanding 24/7 round-the-clock operations. The ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles account for approximately 40% of the shipping containers entering the United States. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Pushback on mask mandates are being reported by California officials. Chris Barnes from the New England USA Radio News Bureau explains.
Since the pandemic began, wearing a mask has been an issue, especially when it's mandated by government entities. And now, of course, the same thing's been happening when it comes to vaccine mandates. In California, Los Angeles County has a vaccine mandate in place, but the sheriff, Alex Villanueva, is not enforcing it. He says these mandates are not a good idea.
Send off edicts like Moses coming down from the mountains and everybody's going to snap. I have to deal in reality, and that is a very dangerous and nonsensical mandate.
That LA County vaccine mandate was issued by executive order in August. People can only be exempt from it for religious and medical reasons.
A northeastern Ohio woman, Michelle Vitillo, is the latest patient being denied a life-saving transplant surgery over the COVID-19 vaccine. Her entire family opposes the vaccine for religious and medical concerns. Doctors at the Cleveland Clinic have now canceled her transplant indefinitely. USA Radio News.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Breaking down the Gabby Petito autopsy report from Tuesday, Dr. Michael Batten on Fox News lends his medical expertise.
Two important things. One is that the outside of her body, did she have any bruises or injuries, old recent injuries on her body in addition to the ligature mark, the manual strangulation marks? Because that will give an answer to one of the things that the defense is going to bring up with the diagnosis of manual strangulation. Is it like the preppy murder of the 1980s that was very popular, where a young woman was killed in Central Park? The coroner did not said just strangulation, but the report, the cause of death that was issued a week earlier that was brought up, he signed off as manual strangulation.
The person of interest, Brian Laundrie, remains on the run. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen continues her pitch for the Biden administration's proposal that would require banks to report every customer's transaction of $600 or more to the IRS, insisting, quote, there's a lot of tax fraud and cheating that's going on, end quote. Yellen has not explained the threshold for who the administration would consider wealthy, nor has she ruled out going after wage earners. I'm Lance Pry. This is USA Radio News.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who is honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Hey, well, hello, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. You know, there's so much to love and admire about our country. Clearly, this light on a shining hill continues to be a magnet, drawing people who are creative, people who are talented, to exercise their gifts and talents. You know, so often you hear me say, where else but America could something like this happen? In this era of COVID, we need to understand and appreciate that there are many, you know, many thinking, intelligent people that are still pursuing remedies regarding COVID-19, what can they come up with? And I know some have said along the way, is there a pill or something that we could take? Well, I've got good news for you. Dr. Armand Balboni is with us, CEO of Pili Therapeutics, and we're going to be talking about this new pill to treat COVID-19 looks like it's just around the corner to be a reality here. Dr. Armand Balboni, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hey, great to be here, and happy to talk about potential solutions.
Yeah, well, tell us about this new pill. People are excited to hear more about it. How far away are we from realizing this?
So I think what's interesting about this pill, and as a physician and a scientist, and just by way of background, I've been doing this for more than 20 years, including in the Department of Defense as a U.S. Army officer. This molecule called favipiravir, or Avigan, has been around for a long time. And so this is an overnight sensation for COVID, many, many years in the making. And we as a company have been running a phase 3 clinical trial, which is the last stage of clinical trials before approval with the FDA. Our last patient was enrolled a few weeks ago, and we expect data in the next couple of weeks for COVID. And this would be a pill you take when you develop symptoms within the first 3 to 5 days of developing symptoms, and then you go home. Because right now all we do is we send you home with nothing. And so this is what we're all hoping for.
Yeah, any of us that contracted the virus, it was like we had the flu. And we go, okay, what are we doing? I mean, because for all this narrative and the fear that has been whipped up, people think, okay, well, I've got the virus. Take me straight to the hospital. Put me on a ventilator, right?
Yeah, and that is just not the reality for the vast majority of people out there. And I think I'm glad you brought up the flu, because this is exactly how we treat the flu. We have a vaccine for the flu. But if you have a breakthrough case or you get the flu and you haven't been vaccinated, there is a tablet that they give you called Tamiflu. And you go home and you take it and you feel better faster. And that's the goal. Yes. And that's how we modeled this study. And that's how everyone has modeled their studies, by the way. We were just the first to do it. We are the small company the David versus Goliath out there.
Right.
We are at the end of the of our clinical trial, and so we'll be an overnight success, years in the making.
Well, as you say, you're a small company. Now, there's a, you know, of course, we have Merck that's doing a similar drug of this type of in development as well, right?
They are, and they act very similarly. They work by a very similar mechanism called the mechanism of action. It stops the virus from making copies of itself. And that's really important because you've got to get the drug on board early. It actually works very similarly both due to remdesivir, which we know has been approved, but it's given by injection, by intravenous injection, which means it's really hard to give somebody at home and hard to give it early. But if you give these drugs early and you give them when symptoms first start, we believe that we can bend the curve of symptoms and sending people to the hospital later. So we relieve the burden on the hospitals for people showing up saying, I feel terrible, help me with something, right? And so they just now sit in the hospital waiting for something. This we can do at home, and we're hopeful.
Well, exactly. And then let's deal with the, you know, again, people's perception is that they're going to be, you know, the hospital is the answer. But as you said, not necessarily the case. And it would almost seem to indicate just by experience and numbers and what I'm hearing, Dr. Balboni, is that, you know, if we can keep people at home, we've got a better chance to conquer this thing as opposed to getting them in the hospital, and that certainly sounds pretty radical. But you know, I just think you gotta consider the common sense here.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you said you kind of intimated this. You said this a little bit, and I think this is actually true. Where I think many in the press just haven't done their work, unlike you, by having this story, and people have largely looked for a one. Solution, one product solution to COVID. At first, everybody said, oh, well, we're going to have a vaccine. We don't need these broad spectrum antivirals. That's what these drugs are called. And I disagreed, and have said so over the last year, as have others. And then they said, oh, now we have monoclonal antibodies. We give those by an infusion in an infusion center. We don't need these pills. And everyone, we disagreed again. And now, we're looking at potentially having a couple of different options, not just by Merck and us. I think we are going to be the first two, but Pfizer and Roche also have these potential broad-spectrum antivirals. So there will be solutions, and there's plenty of room for these solutions. It's about building a toolbox.
Exactly.
If we tell a story about a one-size-fits-all solution, we are doing a disservice, and that's not how we practice medicine, and that's not how we should be confronting COVID, frankly.
Well, exactly. I mean, just as you have the brain trust of the science community coming together, you know, hopefully, you know, as your oath of profession states to do no harm, and that they're not necessarily, you know, chasing money, but they're chasing a solution here. Because, unfortunately, this has been the challenge with all this, is that it has gotten mired in politics, and it seems like reason and intellect has gone on vacation on us. So we're grateful to your organization to bring some balance and bring some reason to discussion, because, you know, these are, you know, it's interesting, again, that we're looking at a drug that's already been in the marketplace. It's been utilized for other, you know, other types of cases, but here it is. There's application now. Now we're finding another use, and this is brilliant discovery. And you know, we need to have that platform and that place where people can hear about this. Otherwise, this goes unnoticed, and somebody says later on down the road, "Why didn't you tell me?"
Absolutely. I think I love the fact that you're moving beyond the politics, right? Because I've tried to do the same thing. I will speak to anybody about the science. I was invited to testify at a Senate hearing last year about this with others who were offering other solutions, and I have to say that our politics all probably were discordant. They didn't agree with one another. But what I have to say, unfortunately, is that it became a political issue, and many of the senators that were considering themselves on the other side of the aisle did not attend the meeting. and they refused to attend. I think this is exactly a poisoned environment, and they had no idea who I was or where I fall out politically, nor should they care.
Yes,
this was
exactly
about a scientific discussion, and right. And so the fact that they were willing to go there, and others have been doing this as well, on both sides, there's plenty of blame to go around. That's not what we're talking about here, and I'm happy that you're doing this, that you're putting out the information. Let the science and the data go where it's going to go, and let's build a toolbox based on common sense. This is not unique to COVID. COVID is a virus, but there are other viral illnesses like flu and Ebola. And
exactly. Got to go to break. We've got more from Dr. Balboni after this. Stay with us.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Minutes minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you with us, where we're fresh and independent, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, taking the politics out of the discussion of COVID-19 and all that we're dealing with. And I know most of our audience is saying, here, here, it's about time, and we can be grateful to Dr. Armand Balboni, CEO of Peely Therapeutics, and the discovery of this new pill that has been in clinical trials, and hopefully we will have it in the market soon and very soon. Dr. Balboni, give us your assessment of where we are, you know, in dealing with COVID, because it seems like we're so mired in a bucket of political gum, and the people are confused because there's been statements all over the place between the WHO. Their statements have been inconsistent. Dr. Fauci, even, who has become the poster child for the federal government on COVID, also been all over the place. I mean, he's a human meme anymore, and they're making fun of him. But, you know, I think in all those cases, and not that I'm necessarily supporting it, but I just say that we have to, in the search for true science and a true solution for all this, we've got to get outside of the politics and the name calling, because you don't know. I mean, who knows who's going to come up with that perfect silver bullet that could come down the line, whether it's your company, you know, somebody else that could come in. But when, you know, like you say, you go to Congress and you're trying to talk to these people to give them an understanding of what's going on, and for half the people to show up because, I mean, it's not like you're coming in and you're looking, you know, on its face political. It's not like you're coming in with a MAGA hat or anything like that. It's like, hey, let's just talk about this, and here's what we're discovering, and wouldn't you want to know about it on behalf of your constituents?
Absolutely. And so, you know, what I did for that, well, two comments. One is the pill we're working on, favipiravir or Avigan, is approved or authorized in 9 countries already. The U.S., this notion that there is nothing that's been out there, it's been in millions of people already. It's been in thousands of people in clinical trials. It's approved not only for COVID-19, but for influenza. And you would think that there was nothing that's ever been developed. And so while I respect my colleagues at the FDA, I worked there at one point. I think that they're all great professionals, and they want to do the right thing. I think that you know, the U.S. is taking a very narrow view of the world, and maybe that's their role. So I would just say that there are other things out there, and we need to disentangle this from the political discussions, as you said. I don't wear a MAGA hat. I declared that at the congressional hearing. I'm actually a lifelong Democrat, but more importantly, I'm a scientist and a physician, and that's the key to all of this. My politics don't matter. I've been vaccinated, but I respect people who want to take a slower approach to the vaccine. I think that this is something that needs to be recognized. There is not a one-size-fits-all solution to solving this. There is never a one-size-fits-all solution to infectious disease. Vaccines are part of it. But when we start forcing people down a path where they have very strong reservations, rather than talking to them about what those reservations are, I think we really run the risk of politicizing things, and that's what we've done.
Exactly.
And so,
well,
so I think
not to mention a violation of our constitutional rights. I mean, you got HIPAA laws that are being violated here in this process. You know, and this is what really needs to be the clarifying point of all this stuff is that, are we honoring our Constitution and our rights as citizens of this country?
So, I think that the federal government and local government and state government have very broad authority to push public health measures. Now, what I would say, however, is that just because you have the authority doesn't mean that you need to exercise it the way that you are. And so some would disagree and say they don't have the authority, and I'm happy to have that discussion. I'm not a constitutional lawyer, and I would defer to those that are. Mm-hmm. But we can talk about the science. And those that we are better bringing people along than forcing them along, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think that there's enough we have enough ammunition to sometimes say, and this is what I think has been sorely missing from the conversation. Sometimes experts, myself included, need to say, I don't know. And that's okay, because I think patients respect that. If you say, I don't know what the full side effects profile is of X, Y, or Z, but I'm going to give you the best data I have right now, knowing that this could change, but we're going to do this together. That, I think, is missing. When you have a proscriptive discussion and force somebody down a path saying, I know the answer, and then you turn out not to have the answer, this is a real problem. And I think you lose credibility. We've lost a lot of credibility as part of this process. Rather than just saying, I don't know, let's figure it out together.
Well, and this is why the doctor-patient relationship is so critical. You're talking about informed consent. You know, two adults sitting there, or even if, you know, a guardian is there in the place of a child, but that you're getting, you know, the full measure of what's available, and it's not, it's without coercion. Because by the same token, when you look at COVID, yes, we're talking 700,000 people have died. Now, the part of the problem you have here is the CDC even recognized several months back that that number was a convoluted number, and that the actual people that died of COVID only without comorbidity was about 5% that number. So whatever number you want to use, COVID is not necessarily like the Black Plague, where you're walking down the street and people are dying on every corner, right? I mean, it's pernicious. There's no doubt about it. I'm not trying to, you know, soften the blow here, but I think we have to look at it with some kind of balanced perspective. And unfortunately, we keep going back to politics. Politics has brought a patina over the discussion and over our war against this virus in such a way that, you know, already we're divided in our politics. It's us against them, and here it is. Wait a minute. You know, you don't understand. Forget about us against them. It's us against the virus, okay?
Absolutely.
So that's got to be set aside, and I think that's what you're saying.
It is, and so what I would also say is that there's a difference, and I think we're talking past one another sometimes, not you and I, but the public at large. The government is talking about population medicine. What is happening at a population level, right? That's very different than the discussion that you talked about that has to happen at the individual physician-patient level. And so those are very different. I may be able to say vaccines are great at stopping COVID across an entire population, but until I sit down with you and understand where you're coming from, that's how I need to help you understand and balance the risks and benefits of any particular treatment. And that is a valid perspective. And I think we're losing that when we only talk about a population. And so those are different functions. And so we need to recognize that that's a very real thing, and respect that, and have very honest discussions with people before they get sick, so they can make a rational decision for themselves and their loved ones. Because I've also seen patients who were about to be intubated, the fear in their eyes from COVID, where they then said, "Oh, now can I have the vaccine? It's too late." But the time to have that discussion is months before then. Not at the point of a treatment. And so, you know, it doesn't help to conflate those two discussions. The government should be talking about populations, but when we're talking about the decision to treat or not to treat and the risks and the benefits of that, that's a very individual decision that needs to be talked about with eyes wide open, from my perspective.
Right. Dr. Balboni, what do you make of this recent reveal that you have pharmacists that are preempting a prescribed order, you know, from a doctor?
So give me a little more detail there. I mean, I think that should never be the case. I mean, I think
what's happening is pharmacists are rejecting a doctor's prescription order.
Yeah, I don't think that should be happening. You know, I think I would need more detail about that, but I would certainly hope that if I was writing a prescription, that it would be filled as prescribed. And that's
exactly.
You know,
it's happening in Hawaii and California. I know specifically from doctors who have said that they've tried to prescribe ivermectin, for example, and that has been rejected by the pharmacist.
Yeah, so again, you know, without getting down into the politics of ivermectin, my personal opinion is that the data don't support its use. I would not prescribe it. But again, this is a decision that is a physician making a decision based on a drug that is available. It's a human drug. The human drug is available. Don't take an animal drug. And this is part of the decision. So
Dr. Balboni, we got to leave it there. I appreciate it. Thank you for coming on, Dr. Armand Balboni.
If you thought you missed the lowest mortgage rates in history, you're in luck because they're back. Mortgage rates are near historic lows again. So if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital Funding is offering a low 15-year fixed rate at 1.75% with a 1.94 APR. Incredible! Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 15-year fixed rate is 1.75% with a 1.94 APR. Now, second chances don't come often, and you may never see these rates again. So, refinance it and forget it. That's a 15-year fixed at 1.75%. Yes, 1.75% with a 1.94 APR. Call the experts at Network Capital now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448.
NMLS ID 11712. Not licensed in all states. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the Financing Law. Number 603-787. An Equal Opportunity Lender. Rates subject to change and may not be available at rate lock. Discount points may apply. Subject to credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Inflation continues to hinder the economy. The Consumer Price Index for all Americans increased nearly 0.5% in September. Over the last 12 months, inflation has increased 5.4%. The Biden administration announced on Tuesday it's preparing to reopen the U.S. land borders with Canada and Mexico to fully vaccinated individuals traveling for non-essential reasons at some point in early November. Unvaccinated travelers, according to Biden officials, will still be prohibited from traveling to the United States. As supply chain bottlenecks around the world threaten to dismantle the U.S. holiday shopping season, President Biden will unveil a plan today to try to ease West Coast delays at the ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles, California, by expanding 24/7 round-the-clock operations. The ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles account for approximately 40% of the shipping containers entering the United States. This is USA Radio News.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. And we've got the founder and president of the National Tax Limitation Committee, Lou Euler. Lou, how are we doing?
Well, things have turned the corner in Washington, so I'm doing better. We're finally seeing all this nonsense that they're trying to dump on us in terms of these various bills the socialists are leading. So things are turning around for us. You bet.
Well, this $3.5 trillion boondoggle, which, you know, the analysts have come back and said, well, it's not exactly 3.5. It could be like, you know, somewhere $6 trillion at the end of the day. And then you have Joe Biden, who, wow, I mean, his math skills have really gone awry from him, says that this will cost us absolutely nothing. Well, when you do the math, there's still something left over. So I don't know how this costs us nothing, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And instead of bankrupting America in pursuit of all their socialist bills and efforts, let's restore free enterprise and increase the wealth of our nation by downsizing government. That's the key now, is we no longer need to talk about how much we're going to spend. It doesn't matter whether they want $1 billion or $7 billion, or a trillion. And I think you're right. It's much larger. It is between the government we now have, 40% of GDP, and a government we need to downsize to about half that in order to have the maximum economic growth for the benefit of our people over time.
Well, the other thing, too, Lou, we got to bring manufacturing back. I mean, under Trump, we were bringing, you know, our old domestic manufacturing partners back to the country because they were incentivized with proper tax levels and that sort of thing. But what they're talking about now is that they want corporations in America to pay more than what they would pay if they were living in communist China.
No, that's absolutely right. And when you read through the 2,500 plus pages of this bill, you find buried in there things like millions of dollars for resource centers for older people with sexual orientation and gender identity problems. You find $3 billion for tree planting in underprivileged regions. I mean, it's just, it's a massive spending plan for socializing America. There's no question, and we got to stop it and start in the other direction. You bet.
Well, we're back to realizing Barack Obama's dream of the fundamental transformation of America. Lou, if we embrace this, bye-bye America. I mean, we are in the rearview mirror. I mean, this is how drastic this will be, because it will take over the regulations that will be compounded in this. I mean, it's kind of like Obamacare, if you remember, about 2,700, 2,800 pages it started out. And then with all the regulations and associated laws that went with it, the paper, you know, stacked up so high, it was more than the IRS code, if you could imagine, you know?
No, you're absolutely right. And then, of course, they have fed into this millions of federal dollars for organized labor to hold membership elections, et cetera, to broaden the union base. So it is now clear that government across our nation, at about 40% of our economy, must be right-sized to about 20%. So the issue now is, how do we stop government from doing things and reverse that out, spin those off to the lowest level of government, like education? There's no reason the federal government should be in education for our colleges or for our high schools or for our primary schools. That's a local function and a private function and a parent's function. We have to get at those issues.
Well, speaking of a parent's function, I'm sure you were shocked as I was regarding the FBI investigating parents on the heels of, you know, parents going and doing their civic duty and going into these school boards and trying to hold these school boards, leaders accountable to make sure that they are educating our children and not indoctrinating them.
You got it precisely right. This education on race, education on gender, mixing up the boys and girls sports teams, all of these things are anathema to the America you and I cherish and we want to restore. And that's the challenge that all of our people now face. And certainly the polls are showing that they are with us on this. And the polls for Biden and company are declining rapidly in the face of all this nonsense.
Well, and we've got to meet it head on, Lou, because, I mean, now for the FBI to designate parents as domestic terrorists, and then you've got a candidate for governor in Virginia, McAuliffe, who says that parents shouldn't be involved in the education of their children. I mean, really? Are you kidding me? He actually said that out loud. It wasn't that he was thinking it. He said it out loud. And this is quite telling, because this reveals a lot about the heart and soul of the Republican Party, does it not?
Absolutely. And these people, these socialists, have got it exactly backwards. Look at that. It is, in fact, the primary responsibility of the parents to see to the proper education of their children. The backup is the government. And so when you get people denouncing know you got the enemy in sight.
Well, now we're domestic terrorists. It's like what Bill Bennett had talked about on the air here, and he referred to his co-author, Dr. James Dobson, and his ministry, who has celebrated families and have been warning people about what's going on in the encroachment of government. And in their book, Children at Risk, was all about the left's desire to seize the hearts and minds of our children. And this is what they've done. I mean, the kind of indoctrination and CRT coming out, and then for them to blatantly lie about it, Lou, and say, oh, no, we're not teaching that.
No, that's right. And the consequences of this overspending and too large a government for the future of our nation and our people is dramatic. We have in the study of the right size of government, we know that we have to bring this down to about 20% in order to maximize the rate of economic growth for the benefit of everyone. When Biden and Barack left as president, they left a rate of economic growth at 1.2%. That would take 60 years to double the size of the economy, whereas at the rate that Reagan left at 4%, it would take 18 years. This is the Romer rule. Ralph became the Nobel laureate in 2018. For his Romer rule, and this is what we have to follow now and realize that to maximize economic growth for the benefit of all our citizens, a larger economy, we have to reduce the size and right-size the government.
Exactly, and it's quite telling that Barack Obama and Joe Biden, their vision of GDP was, they said, well, it's going to be around 2%. That's about the best we can do. They could not even comprehend, get their brain around Donald Trump talking about 3%, 4% GDP. And I maintain that if there had been any kind of cooperation with the Democrats instead of this ongoing resistance that took place, they ended up costing the American people trillions of dollars in potential GDP growth for all the fussing that they did and putting a stick in the spokes of the president of the American people that were guilty of wanting to move America forward.
You framed it perfectly. That's exactly what we as the people who love and cherish our nation have to recognize. We need a common sense approach to the future of our nation and the economy in this nation, and stop this nonsense by the outliers and return real Americans to control of the economy of this nation. You bet.
Well, Lou Euler is the founder and president of the National Tax Limitation Committee. And Lou, we appreciate your insight every week as always. How can people activate their citizenship and be in touch with you?
Well, come to limittaxes.org and join the effort to right size the government of the United States and turn our nation back in the direction we love and cherish.
New surveys show that some Americans don't think vaccines are enough to protect themselves and others from COVID. To be safe, use Exergen at home, at work, and in public. It's the only thermometer proven accurate by more than 100 published clinical studies. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Exam 4 needs to be sanitized.
Mersana's MRI clinic isn't operating at max efficiency. She needs a new certified tech certifiably now.
Someone's waiting in room 2 for an ACL scan. Can you handle that?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do.
With Indeed Instant Match, we immediately show you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed meet your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
We know that the 1% globalist elites have hijacked and subverted the U.S. economy, culture, and government. The battle to take America back begins with Scott McKay, the Patriot Street Fighter, and his Advancing the Fork in Line tour. Now here's Scott.
Hi, this is Scott McKay, better known as Patriot Street Fighter, the high-octane, full-throttle truth hammer, and I'm bringing the Advancing the Fork in Line tour to a city near you. I and a host of other speakers will be on stage with an arsenal of issues from health rights, human rights, and the freedom given to us by the founding fathers who drafted the Constitution for the United States of America. This is a ticketed event, and you can get tickets at PatriotStreetFighter.com. I'm looking forward to personally seeing many of you there.
The Patriot Street Fighter Advancing the Fork in Line tour tickets can be purchased at PatriotStreetFighter.com. For tour dates and information, or to purchase your tickets, go to PatriotStreetFighter.com. That's PatriotStreetFighter.com.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Before the top of the hour, are you ready to talk music? Oh, gosh, this is going to be a lot of fun. Kelly Fasane is with us. We're going to be talking about his new book, Major Labels, A History of Popular Music in 7 Genres. Rock, R&B, country, punk, hip-hop, dance pop, and Califa's got an interesting background here. New Yorker staff writer since 2008, before which he spent 6 years as a pop music critic at the New York Times. He's also a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning, one of my favorite shows in the morning. It's always good to watch. Califa, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me. This is fun.
Hey, what an awesome project for you, huh? I gotta tell you, I've been around music. I was a disc jockey back in the 70s, okay, 60s, 70s, and around music all the time. And I gotta tell you, as I was reading your book and looking at some of the highlights here, I was a bit envious, if I might say. Full disclosure, okay?
Well, I was gonna say, we both had those jobs. Music DJ, music critics. Those are jobs where you can't ever complain to your friends. They say, wait, don't you just sit around listening to records all day? Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
and the point is what, you know? And we get tickets to all the concerts and all that good stuff. I mean, hey, it was good fun back in those days. And then every once in a while they'd bring you in the office and say, okay, sign here and promise that you didn't take any payola or druggle.
No one ever even offered me payola. I was fine. And, you know, probably like you and probably like a lot of listeners, I was someone who was obsessed with music starting from my teenage years. That was like, that was all I cared about in high school. For me, that music was punk rock. And part of the excitement of that for me was that it was a chance to just make up your mind about something. It was a chance to say, to draw a line in the sand and say, this is what I like, and that other stuff is what I don't like. I remember literally thinking to myself, I'm pushing my Rolling Stones cassettes aside, and I'm never going to listen to the Rolling Stones again. I'm only going to listen to punk. Yeah. And obviously that didn't exactly come to pass, but there is something fascinating to me always about the ways in which we use music to define ourselves and the ways we form these musical communities. And that's what a genre is, really, right? It's a community of musicians and listeners.
Well, it's how we remember it as well. The memories, how they're embedded in our minds, the smells, radios. I remember my first radio being up all night. My mother would always come in and yell, turn that radio off. I mean, it was just a little, back in the days, this is before you were born, transistor radios, and had a goofy little antenna to it. But I could barely, tune in the local radio station. But that was just enough back in those days. You could listen through all the screeching and the fuzz and everything else, but hey, you're listening to your kind of music, and that's all that matters.
Sometimes our parents don't quite know, this might actually become a career one day.
Exactly.
When I listen to the radio or I'm going record shopping, it doesn't seem like it's ever gonna become a profession. But that, music works that way too, right? Often the things that seem the most silly, things that seem like they're gonna be a flash in the pan, turn out not to be a fad at all, right? One of the fascinating things I've realized working on this book, this book I write about R&B and hip hop and techno and all sorts of stuff, and compared to a lot of those kinds of music, rock and roll is the one that's the most traditional. The sound of rock and roll, even the fact that you're supposed to have a drummer and a bass player and one or two electric guitars and maybe a keyboard player and a singer, like, that hasn't changed in 50 years. And even now, if you talk to someone who says they love rock and roll, I bet you they love a lot of those same bands that people loved 50 years ago. They love the Beatles or the Rolling Stones or Led Zeppelin, and in that way, rock and roll has kind of grown up and become the most traditional of all the genres. I would argue that rock and roll is even more traditional than country music. Country music keeps changing, and now they're using fiddles, or now the fiddles are out and it's all about string sections, right? Or they're going to dabble with disco, or are electric guitars allowed? Electric guitars come in. Now a lot of country artists are using beats and rhythms from hip-hop. So country music kind of keeps changing, even as rock and roll stays relatively the same.
Yes, I think to a degree, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I would say that when I first, for example, to your point, when my first professional radio job was at a country station, and it was at the time they were evolving from country and western, as you might recall, again in your history, because you didn't live during this period of time, I did.
Right.
But anyway, it was country and western, then country started coming about, and that's when you had Bob Dylan, Nashville Skyline coming out.
Right.
Kenny Rogers, the first edition, Johnny Cash was crossing over. All these things were taking place, so there was a fresh new country that was coming about, and also it just seemed like the influence of Nashville was bleeding through, too, because you had a lot of talent that I think affected two particular genres. I would say country music as well as Christian music.
Yes, absolutely. And people were talking about the Nashville sound, right? And this idea that country music, you get amazing records like I love Wichita Lineman, right? That's a favorite of mine. And wonderful records that reflect this idea that country music could be mainstream, right? Country music could be just great American songs that everyone can love. And at various times in the history of country music, there is this desire to be like, this is just regular music for regular people. And the opposite, right? A desire to say, like, no, we're country music. We're not like you people in the big cities. We're not like some of this other stuff that's happening in American culture. We are our own culture with its own rules, its own traditions, right? And so a lot of these genres, country music can never quite decide how mainstream it wants to be. And at various times, the genre gets very suburban and kind of normal, and then it pushes back against that and says, no, we're a little world unto ourselves. And that's a pendulum that kind of keeps swinging back and forth.
Yeah, it definitely has its own personality, and later on in my career I did have an opportunity to run a country station in Southern California. The stars were just really, really special. They would come in and whether it was Brooks and Dunn, his name all of a sudden escapes me, and I don't know why, because
Alan Jackson.
Alan Jackson, exactly. I mean, they came over to the studios, and of course, my boss, he was renowned. He had like a car collection of Choco Horse, probably the biggest car collection west of the Mississippi, over 300 cars. It was amazing. And so all these stars would come over and, you know, just visit, and they were just so friendly. And Wynonna Judd, one time, and we had 250 people just standing outside the studios, you know, just to see her, to say hi, and she came out and shook everybody's hand, took pictures with them. I mean, just an attitude within you know, that particular genre that was really special, that had a connection with his audience, as opposed to you know, my other rock experiences that I had.
Yeah, and you only get that from a genre that feels like a community, where everyone feels like they're in a community. Although, you look at that, and that's another example of how the genre keeps changing, right? Like, you look at the Judds, you look at Brooks and Dunn. These are really rock and roll influenced acts, right? These are acts that are using guitar in a really important way, and certainly the use of guitar on records by both of them. And you realize it wasn't that long before that electric guitars and drums are banned from the stage of the Grand Ole Opry, right? It wasn't that long before that country music is defined by being not rock and roll. And by the 90s, rock and roll has changed enough that rock and roll now gets kind of incorporated into country music. And by the time you get to the 2000s, the sound of country music is a very rock and roll sound. By the 2000s, even the 90s and the 2000s, no one is surprised when they go to a country music concert and hear a loud electric guitar solo, whereas only a few decades before, that would have been shocking. And so that's a good example of how the genre is able to evolve, even as acts like that, you know, you mentioned Alan Jackson, Brooks and Dunn, the Judds, those are great examples of acts who didn't really cross over. They didn't really have success at pop radio. So as much as their music was drawing from all sorts of things, in terms of audience, those were strictly country acts.
Oh yeah, exactly. Like Garth Brooks, but Garth Brooks had some crossover effect, but you know, just extremely popular in terms of you know, the sales, the record sales in that are just extraordinary, and to this day still holding records. We're talking with Kalefa Sané, his brand new book, Major Labels: A History of Popular Music in Seven Genres. Let me ask you: you said that punk rock took over for the Rolling Stones. Did you go back and find those tapes and bring them back into fold?
I certainly did. I found the mixtape that that my friend made me, actually, in my mom's storage space. And over the years, you know, the idea was that, like, oh, punk rock's going to be radical, it's going to be weird, it's going to be crazy, it's going to break the rules. So then, of course, I had to go looking for music that broke the rules of punk rock, right? And loving punk rock helped me hear and appreciate the spirit of audacity in hip-hop. It helped me hear the kind of, it helped me hear the ambition and the hunger to make a pop hit that rules in the pop world. It helped me hear the craft and the melody and the songwriting in country music, and wound up loving all this stuff. As a pop music critic, got to be really in it. I mean, talk about car collection, like getting to go to Alan Jackson's house and look at his car collection and having some of those experiences, and really thinking a lot about why people like what they like. What are the people like at a country music concert? How's that different from the people you see if you're out listening to a techno DJ? And part of the fun for someone like me is to kind of travel through all these worlds. And so hopefully in my book, I give readers a chance to travel through all these worlds, even if, and I don't want to stereotype anyone or even you, even if, for example, you happen to not be a huge fan of techno music, hopefully there's some stories in there that are fun to read about regardless.
Well, the thing is, music is universal, and good is good. It was like when my first job, as I mentioned, at a country station, I had friends go, how can you play that stuff? And I said, well, I mean, you need to listen. Buck Owens is really professional.
Oh,
I mean, you know, and even if you go back and appreciate, like, the likes of Mother Maybelle Carter, yes, traditional country and Western, but there was some charm about that, and there was a level of professionalism that you can't help but appreciate. And even techno, as you say, I listen to some of these techno DJs, for example, and I'm in awe. Their level of creativity, it's just unbelievable what they're able to do with sound. Well, thank you for being with us, Kalefa Sané.
Food shortages are here. I'm going to stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.